Some days it gets completely crazy, and I feel like howling, let the moon. And sometimes it feels so easy, like I was born with a silver spoon.
This is the guy who created the largest fortune ever amassed by one person. He created $27.5 trillion and wanted to give $23 trillion of it to the American people to pay off the debt of today's Federal Reserve and a lot of corrupt politicians, frankly.
And I have to make it on my own. Well, I guess I'm going AWOL. Disconnect my telephone. Just like Greta Garbo. I just want to be alone.
If you go to WTSNBblogspot.com, you will find a writ of mandamus there. And in that writ, here are the people that Lee listed tying up the $4.5 trillion. The Secretary of the Treasury, who at that time was Paulson, the Attorney General of the United States, Gonzalez, Bank of America, J.P. Morgan Chase, Citibank, Citigroup, Goldman Sachs, the United States Department of the Treasury, Deputy Secretary Kemet, Secretary Chertoff, the Department of Homeland Security, the Federal Reserve Bank.
You have to get some elbow room. Most people think that everything is just what they assume.
He gave Vince Foster $250 million that day before he was arrested. And the money was for Hillary Clinton for the Children's Defense Fund. Vince Foster, of course, was killed in less than 2 weeks. Hillary and Bill would not let the authorities go into Vince Foster's safe until they went into it first because for national security reasons, quote unquote. The $4.5 trillion was wire transferred by the People's Bank of China, which is their central bank, into the United States, into the Bank of America in Richmond, Virginia. Lee, he had been told by Judge Gerald Bruce Lee, the Federal District Court, to liquidate his assets and bring the money back into the country. And the 4.5T was the first exercise in that. That money was wire transferred by the People's Bank in 1996 and immediately disappeared.
Well, I'm going out to L.A. I want to get my business done. Then I'm going on to Vegas. Then I'm going on the run.
He'd go public and say to the American public directly, listen, I have $23 trillion. I could wipe out the debt. So he could wipe out the debt.
That's absolutely right.
In one fell
swoop. He has gone public. Have you tried to get anything published in the media in the United States of America, Richard?
Because I'm living on the outside. And I have nowhere to go. I guess I'm going to. Disconnect my telephone. Just like Greta Garbo. just want to be alone.
Hey, today, I tell you what, I have a fascinating story for you that this is the most anticipated recording that I've made to date, merely out of the content of this story. The story is about a man named Leo Wanta, and Leo is known as the $27.5 trillion man. Now, when you hear that kind of number, you're going to immediately think, oh, this is some sort of a fiction story. It can't be true. Not that much money in the whole world, but, you know, well, there actually is. But this is a true story. It's a story that you're going to, once you understand it, you are going to ask yourself, why is this not been publicly broadcast? This has such significance on this country and our economic condition that it's just astounding. Now, I tell you what, before I get started, I want to put out a shout out to Marilyn Magruder Barnwall. She is the expert on Leo Wanta, and I can say that with a certainty after doing a lot of investigation myself on the subject. And I heard Miss Barnwall on a podcast a couple of weeks ago, and I'd never heard the story before, and it was just astounding to me. And even all the stuff that I learned and that I looked into, I was immediately skeptical about this, primarily because of the James Bond-ish of it. $27.5 trillion. Everything that you're going to hear about this just sounded way too outlandish. But after looking into it, this is a real story. This really happened, and this is still happening. Mrs. Barnwall was very nice and nice enough to me to reply to my emails when I inquired about information, and she also provided me further verification on some information. So Mrs. Barnwall is a highly respected person in the banking industry, private banking industry, and she is one of the good guys, I can tell you, one of the good girls. A little bit of bio on Miss Barnwall. She began her career in 1956, and during her 20-plus years as a banker and bank consultant, she wrote for the American Banker, Bank Marketing Magazine, Trust Marketing Magazine, was the U.S. Consulting Editor for Private Banker International out of London and Dublin. She's written 7 books about banking and taught private banking at Colorado University. She is also the former editor of National Peace Officer Magazine. She's written for Denver Post, Rocky Mountain News, Newsweek, and on internet journalistic sites. She has written for News Reviews, WorldNet Daily, Canada Free Press, Christian Business Daily, Business Forum, and many others. Now, Ms. Barnwall, she can be found in Who's Who in America, 2005-2010, Who's Who of American Women, 2006-2010, Who's Who in Finance and Business, 2006-2010, and also Who's Who in the World, 2008. She is an extremely accomplished person. I'm going to be citing a lot of information from her. The information I'm going to have is going to be put on my website, nwo3.com. Click on the podcast menu option and then select, if it's not the most recent, then you just select in the right-hand menu bar, select this particular podcast on Leo Wanta, and that page that comes up will have more information than you probably want to read at first, but and it will also have links to other people's sites, primarily Mrs. Barnwall. So anyway, trust me, this is a story that you're going to be amazed to hear. You're going to be intrigued to find out the details, and then hopefully you're going to be motivated to inquire to your congressperson about this situation, because trust me, they know about this. They might not be telling you, but they know about this guy and they know about this situation, and it is our duty to bring this to light and protect this guy, and you know, because the ramifications on our economic situation are just huge if this story can be brought mainstream. It really is. So, okay, let's just go ahead and start off. Leo Wanta. Leo Wanta was a CIA operative back in 1980. President-elect Ronald Reagan, prior to being inaugurated, held a private meeting with himself. He had William Colby, a former CIA director, present. William Casey, who was going to be Reagan's CIA director, and then also William Smith, who was going to be Reagan's attorney general, was present along with Leo Wanta. And what they discussed, among other things, was how to address the Soviet Union, specifically how to bring down the Soviet Union. And what they decided to do was to bring down the Soviet Union by way of financial collapse. They were going to attack the ruble and make it essentially worthless. Now I'm just going to skim the highlights here. You know, to find out the details, again, I suggest you go to the website, nwo3.com. Use that information. Use the links. Mrs. Barnwell has a tremendous amount of legal documents that's going to be, you can verify the information that I'm going to mention here and that she is going to have on her website as well. And you're going to really need to do that because, like I said, I'm just going to hit the highlights here. Okay, so what happened once Reagan did take office? They started out doing this. And Leo Wanta was the man in the field. He was going to be the central person responsible for devaluing the ruble. Now, how did this work? Well, Reagan, through an executive order, 12333, he allowed it such that intelligence officers or occupants could form corporations on behalf of the government, but they were wholly owned and operated by the intelligence officer or the operative, and they were not officially associated with the government at all. So Leo Wanta, he received $150 billion from the U.S. Treasury to go about devaluing the ruble. Now, what he did, he formed a company called New Republic, and what he started doing was purchasing rubles in mass quantity. He was purchasing them on, I want to say, the open market. I'm not sure if that's actually correct or not, but he was purchasing rubles in mass quantities. And, of course, when you purchase in mass quantities, you get a greatly reduced rate. At the time, the ruble was valued at $1.20 U.S. dollar per ruble. Leo Wanta was able to purchase them for between 18 and 28 cents per ruble, significant discount, which he purchased mass quantities. Now, as he purchased these quantities, he also was selling these rubles to initially other countries that were indebted to Russia. Now, they were indebted to Russia at the current market price of the ruble, which was $1.20. They were able to purchase rubles from Leo Wanta at approximately 32 to 35 cents per ruble. So it's a significant advantage to them, for them to do so and to pay off their debts at an extreme discounted rate. And so, in which they did. So at the time, so, you know, Leo was making, a lot of money. You know, he's getting anywhere from 50 to 70%. You know, on his investment here. So that amount of money, his investment, you know, multiplies, you know, quickly. And he pays back the $150 billion to the government. So everything after that is all Leo Wanta. And that's the way that the executive order was actually written, was that this was his corporation. And this was now his money. He already paid back his loan of $150 billion. So, now, don't get off of me here, because I don't want you to think that Leo Wanta is now, even though he is the sole you know, owner and controller of the $27.5 trillion, which is what he amassed, he would prefer to give this to the U.S. Treasury to pay off our government's debt to the Federal Reserve. But he's not being allowed to do this. And all, not only is he not being allowed to do this, he's trying to be executed, assassinated, for even wanting to do this. And that's where the story gets very, very intriguing here. So anyway, continue on here. Like I said, I'm just going to mention the highlights. I'm not going to go into much detail. I don't want to lose you in the weeds here on the story. I really want to pique your interest. Make sure you understand this is real. It's out there. You need to go out and read about it. So he amasses $27.5 trillion. Now, he does this, you know, once he sells rubles to other countries, and, you know, there's many other ways that he actually invests this money. You know, one of the ways is he's invests in prime bank guarantees and, you know, his 10-year maturities. And so there's many other ways that he invests this money. Once they have successfully brought down the ruble and collapsed the Soviet, you know, financial system, okay, that's already been accomplished now. Now he still has this money, and he's still investing. You know, it's his money; he can do whatever he wants to with it. Well, but now he is still working with, you know, as long as Reagan is in office, he is still working with Reagan. Okay, to continue on here, I'm going to move up to June of 1988, which is when Leo Wanta officially started living in Austria, Vienna, Austria. And that date is going to be significant in just a few minutes here. So while he was there, he's working with the Chinese, still against the USSR. He went to Singapore to meet with his Chinese counterpart, a guy named Kok Hau Kwong, and I'm going to call him Hau. Hau's dad was very highly placed in the Chinese government and was recognized, highly respected former Chinese warlord. So Hau's father, he told Leo Wanta that if he would put up $25 million, that Hau's father would put up $25 million for his son, and that they, as partners, could purchase the Unico Credit Company, which is a Singapore underwriter, and which they did do. Now, about that time, President George H.W. Bush, he visited Singapore, and he was unaware of this intelligence operative named Leo Wanta, was now a co-owner of a Singapore underwriting firm in which Bush had an account. So this really actually scared Bush, kind of pissed him off. President Reagan didn't like Bush. He didn't trust Bush whatsoever. So whenever Bush would ask Leo about, you know, what is he doing there? What is he doing involved in this? Whatever, Leo would just say, hey, we're doing this at the direction of the president, and he referred all questions back to President Reagan at the time, or Attorney General Bill French or William Casey. Well, this really sounded like it really spooked President Bush here. So he found out that they were the owners of this Unico Credit point. So he immediately demanded that they pay him for his account. And Lee's partner, you know, Hau, he kind of blew up at the future President Bush, and said that wasn't going to happen. Well, 2 weeks later, Hau died in a Singapore hospital of rat poisoning. And then a General Vernon Walters confirmed to Leo Wanta that a hit had also been put out for him that very same night. But he was actually able to somehow avoid that. At the time, he did, Leo Wanta, escaped, to Canada, lived in Canada secretly for a while. So now let's get back to, you know, kind of the main part of the story here. Cause I'm just going to try to touch the highlights. It's kind of hard to do that. So please hang with me here. Now, during the Reagan years, Leo Wanta was appointed ambassador of Somalia to Switzerland and to Canada. Okay. And, Mrs. Barnwell, she has copies of his passports, his diplomatic passports. This was official. He was actually the ambassador of Somalia to Switzerland and to Canada. Well, he was sent to Switzerland to meet with Vince Foster in Geneva. And then the FBI director, William Sessions, asked Leo Wanta to meet with Martin Rich. You probably remember that name from the Clinton administration. But And he asked, the FBI director, William Sessions, asked Liawana to arrest Mark Rich, and he provided a warrant for him to do that. Well, evidently there's been some photographs taken of Mark Rich meeting with a Israeli Mossad intelligence agent on a hotel balcony of that same hotel that they were staying at. And, so it's assumed that that agent tipped off Rich because he never did meet in the location where they were going to meet, where he was going to be arrested. Now this was the same Mark Rich that was pardoned on Bill Clinton's last day of his presidency. And you need to go back and kind of read up on that. So now the FBI's warrant for Mark Rich is still around. Well, what happened was that Liawata was also supposed to meet with Vince Foster, of which he gave $250 million in cash to Vince Foster to operate as a courier. This money was intended for Hillary Clinton for her Children's Defense Fund. But if you look up the Children's Defense Fund, the Children's Defense Fund is also a Title 18, Section 6 corporation. And just to let you know, when President Reagan, he signed that executive order that allowed the intelligence operatives to form these corporations, they were the actual U.S. code is Title 18, Section 6. So these corporations are known as Title 18, Section 6 corporations. Well, Hillary Clinton, her Children's Defense Fund, which sounds fantastic, sounds like a great humanitarian fund. Well, that is a Title 18, Section 6 fund. It allows her to create this potentially with government money, you know, to set it up. But it's all her corporation, and you know, the money that's brought into it, she can do with what she wants to. And the word is, for read out there, that was pretty much used as her personal slush fund. So, but if you remember, Vince Foster, you know, when he returned back to the United States, 2 weeks after he had received the $250 million from Liawata, is when Vince Foster turned up dead in Marcy Park, outside of Washington. And, of course, the official report is that he committed suicide, and we all know that that was not true. He did not commit suicide. He was murdered. All right, to continue on here, what happened during that same visit with Vince Foster is that Liawata was arrested by the Swiss authorities. Now, he had diplomatic immunity. He was not, he wasn't allowed to be arrested, okay? But they overlooked that. And there again, they're assuming that the Mossad agent that tipped off Mark Rich also, pulled some strings and had him arrested, okay? Now, he was arrested and he was in prison for, I believe it's about 8 months there. Well, Yitzhak Rabin, he got wind of this. And, of course, Yitzhak Rabin had already been a customer of Liawata's in purchasing rubles. Well, he got word of this and what was happening to him. And he sent a coded message to him, but the Swiss authorities intercepted the message. And I guess they were spooked about it, because they knew that they were in the wrong for being able to arrest Liawata in the first place and imprison him. So what they did is they immediately shackled him, put him on a plane to New York City. And this is where it gets a little bit more interesting. So he gets to New York City. He's arrested there and not charged with anything. Then he's subsequently, released. But as he's walking out of the jail, he is arrested again. Supposedly on tax evasion from Wisconsin income tax, and they said that he owed $14,129 on tax, income tax, from 1989, I believe. Well, if you remember, he was an official resident of Vienna, Austria, and not a resident in Wisconsin at all after 1988, June 1988. So this was a trumped up charge. But of course, Leo Wanta had all this money. He got the notice of the delinquency in this payment. He paid it, got the receipt. They issued him additional notices. He paid that, got the receipt. And of course, then they subsequently arrested him in New York and extradited him back to Wisconsin and imprisoned him there for tax evasion. And there again, now these receipts, have all been acquired by Mrs. Barnwell, and they're on my website, and they're also going to be on her website as well. So please go out there and look at these. he was sent to a federal prison in Oklahoma, and has since gotten out. But the whole trial there in Wisconsin was a complete farce. And now what happened was that, I'm just going to hit the highlights here. So I'm kind of giving the basis of who Leo Wanta is, what authority had to do what he did, exactly what he did. They were very successful in collapsing the Soviet Union. And then now he's got all this money and he wants to actually give it back to the government to pay off the debts. Okay. And he's being, he's already had two assassination attempts on his life. And now he's got these bogus charges from Switzerland and also from Wisconsin. And now what happens here is that Leo Wanta makes arrangements for the People's Bank of China, which is China's central bank, to wire $4.5 trillion of his money to Bank of America in Richmond, Virginia, which they did. And there is receipts for that. Now that money, was transferred, received, and then it disappeared. And it was transferred, by way of Federal Reserve to, a JP Morgan account that was owned by Goldman Sachs. And, that money has disappeared. And there's been of course, Leo Wanta filed a suit alleging this theft, and the suit is on behalf of Ameritrust company, which is another one of Leo's 18-6 companies in America. It's called Ameritrust, and he wins this, and they put out a. Pardon me, just a second here. So he wins this trial in Virginia. And he is essentially ordered to or allowed to liquidate all of his money, all of his corporations, whatever, and this money is his. Okay. Also, part of this trial was the disappearance of this $4.5 trillion, which is what he liquidated actually and brought in, had transferred over here. The court allowed Leo Wanta to issue a writ of mandamus, okay, which is actually a writ of mandate, which is very rare and is usually issued by a superior court to a lower court, essentially mandating that they follow through with previously agreed upon conditions or whatever. So they were actually issued this writ of mandate on behalf of Leo Wanta. He was the petitioner. The mandate was issued to Henry Paulson, who was the Secretary of the Treasury at the time, Robert Kimmett, who was Deputy Secretary of Treasury, James Wilkerson, Chief of Staff of U.S. Treasury, Michael Chertoff, who was Secretary, Department of Homeland Security, Albert Gonzalez, who was Attorney General, and the Federal Reserve Bank of Richmond, Virginia. Now, they're going to, if I go into the detail on this, it's probably going to bore you to tears. Okay. But this is a significant, document here that you're going to want to look up here. And the people that it mentions, the corporations that it mentions, it's really kind of going to tie everything together. And anyway, I'm probably just going to stop right here because, if I start getting into this right now, it's going to get real detailed, and I'm probably going to lose your lose your attention here. So bottom line is Leo Wanta. Now, if you go out there and do some research, you're going to read some good things about him. You're going to read some bad things about him. Okay. Of course, we all know that the government puts out disinformation on people, things, events, organizations, and whatever they like to. And they definitely have on this account. Because you have to imagine the ramifications of this is that Leo Wanta could, right now, this moment, pay off the U.S. debt and still have, $10 trillion left over. This is, they're not going to allow this. And we're talking about the Rothschild, central banks of the world, the oligarchs that the Rothschild central banks of the world allow to control our society by means of their corporations. They're just not going to allow this to happen. This right here scares the crap out of them. It really does. Extremely significant. So here's the deal. If this guy truly does have $27.5 trillion, and he does, you can go out there and verify that. Where is it all right now? We don't know exactly where it all is. But he has it. He can affirm that he has it, and he can liquidate it. He can pay off our national debt right now, and he will. And he will pay taxes on his $27.5 trillion. This is what he's already agreed to, okay? Now, just step back a second. Miss Barnwell, I didn't mention this earlier, she was in daily contact with Leo Wanta for approximately 3 years, and they talked multiple times every day as she was putting this whole story together and finding out the whole information. So she was very, very close to Leo Wanta at the time. This was back in 2009, 2010, 2011. So you just need to think about the significance of this. He could pay off the debt right now, and he's willing to do that. He's willing to give this money to the U.S. Treasury. Now we need to make sure he doesn't want to give it to the Federal Reserve. That's where the problem lies. They've already stole $4.5 trillion of his money. They just made it disappear, and they are not being held accountable for that. $4.5 trillion, people, is a lot of money. I know sometimes we get, softened by these, the frequency of how people talk about trillions of dollars. It is a lot of money. So go out here, be intrigued by what I'm telling you. Don't believe me. Go out and learn this stuff for yourself. Use common sense to think about this. Email me with any questions. Email is on the website, nwo3.com, and use all the resources that I've got in there. Look at all the documents and go to Mrs. Marilyn Barnwell's site, which I'll put on my website as well, and check this out for yourself. Extremely significant story. And once you start reading through the details of this, you're just going to be fascinated. And what I urge you to do, once you get to the point where you convince yourself this is real, this is true, there's enough documentation here to verify every bit of this, write your congressperson. Bring this up to them. And we need to do this in masses. Ask them what is the situation here. Make sure you state that you know that they are aware of this. And if they are not, if they say they're not aware of it, you need to provide a strong suggestion that they become aware of it and get back to you on this because of its significance. And if they say that there's nothing to it, which a lot of them are going to, if they say there's nothing to it, it's a bunch of hogwash, it's a conspiracy theory, then we can start throwing the copies of the documents in front of their face and let them get serious then. So, all right, guys, I hope you found this as fascinating and intriguing as I do. And that goes for Breezy, better known as Layer Cake. And it also goes for Pookie. And it also goes for JoJo and Dirty. So anyway, guys, check it out. Give me some feedback. Let me know what you think. Let me know what you find. Get interested in this. It has a very, very significance on our lives. So, all right, guys, take care until next time, and